Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'd like to bring a message this morning on a very familiar passage, one that we learned very early, as far as heard a story in Sunday school or the feeding of the 5,000. I'd title the message this morning, Only Five Loaves and Two Fish. We see this is a miracle that's found in all four Gospels. So this morning I'm going to be using facts maybe from different Gospels. We could have turned to Matthew, we could have turned to various places, but this morning I'm going to stay here in John chapter 6. I'll be referring to other places, but not turning to them all. We see this is the most massive miracle that Jesus performed, 5,000 men and plus women and children. 5,000 men plus women and children. So the amount of people here is, we're going to say that it could be that there was 5,000 men, each had a wife and each had a child. So we'll say I'm going to be referring to 15,000 people. So it could be, this morning our board says 166 here today. And I think I counted it roughly 50 some men. So that should be pretty accurate to say that there's, with 5,000 men, there could be a size of the crowd here is 15,000 people. So this miracle shows Jesus as the supplier of all physical need. This physical. We're going to see a physical miracle that Jesus did. But right after this miracle, we see the very next day in Capernaum, he was teaching about how he is the bread of life, and he turned it into a spiritual lesson out of this. It was a sermon in action here, and he urged people to accept him as the bread of life and receive himself as they had received the bread the day before. This miracle is a testimony to his deity. John, in the book of John, in the first chapter, he starts by saying that he's telling us that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So John starts by telling us that Jesus is God, and this miracle gives testimony to that, that Jesus is God. Jesus worked a miracle here that these 15,000 people, they saw it and they experienced it. You know, there was no arguing. They were all witnesses because they ate and were filled. And it says how if he would have had selfish ambition, or if he would have wanted a following, this would have been his moment. I mean, think about it. Everybody saw this miracle. And it does say at the end here in chapter 6 and verse 15 that they wanted to make him a king, and he did not. He turned that down and he disappeared. But Jesus performed a miracle here, and his heart was that they would believe, You know, the motives for this great crowd was that they saw his miracles and they were following him because of what he was doing. But Jesus' heart and his purpose of the miracle is so that they would believe. I'm going to read in John chapter 6. It says in verse 1, "And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them which were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come about him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." And there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down, and the number was about 5,000. And the other gospel says it includes plus women and children. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples said, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And they gathered, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves, which remained over and above that which they had eaten. Then those men which had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So if we look at the Gospels together, we see that in Luke that the disciples just came back from their mission trip, and they were wanting to get with Jesus and to catch up on what was going on. And in Matthew's gospel, it says that Jesus had just learned that John the Baptist was murdered. That awful event had just happened, and Jesus just got this news at this time. So he wanted to go off and to be alone. The goal was to get away from the crowds and to be alone with his disciples, and he wanted time to meditate and pray and catch up and what was all going on. So they got in a boat and went across the Sea of Galilee, which is about 4 miles across. And the people followed. They walked around on foot on the north side, and about 6 miles out around, and they could come over to the other side. So actually, one of the Gospels says that the people were running. So they were following Jesus. So when he gets off the boat on the other side, the crowds were soon there. And Jesus did not get time alone like he wanted to, but he saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. And he says, with different places there, it says how he taught them and he healed their sick. And so he was ministering. Now, by late afternoon, the disciples saw that they were out in a desert place, and there's this large crowd of people, and they need supper. And so they told Jesus to send them away. And, you know, like get rid of the problem, or just to get up, let them get home before dark, just to say, to get home. But Jesus saw this as a situation. He saw it not as a problem, but he saw it as an opportunity to trust the Father and glorify his name. So in verse 5, Jesus turns to Philip now, and he says, where could we buy bread? Now, he probably turned to Philip because he was from that area. He would have known, you know, the places that were still open or whatever. You know, they were out back here. But, you know, he knew the area, and he did this to test him. Or he knew what he was going to do. But so like he was saying, you know, like to, you know, which store is still open? You know, is Dutch Way or Giant or whatever? You know, what's, you know, Philip here, he was asked this question, this impossible question. It's like, you know, like, okay, you're going to order pizza. That's the thing today, right? We have all these people, and the quick meal would be ordering a pizza. Well, how many pizzas would it take for 5,000 men plus women and children? Yeah, ladies, how many would you order? You know what, 4,000 or 3,500 pizzas? You know, this is a lot of people, a lot of food. And Philip turns around and says, "Well, 200 pennyworth of bread would not buy enough of bread for everybody to have a bite." And so he's thinking, you know, well, These pizzas are going to cost, you know, $3,500 times what, $10 a piece? That's $35,000. This is not possible. This is not possible. You know, it sounds like maybe he was the treasurer, has the money. You know, we can't do this. This is not going to work out. There's not enough of money to do this. But God's math is different here. Talking humanly, you know, God's math is different. You know, 5 loaves plus 2 fish plus God's power equals 15,000 people being filled and satisfied. So their idea was, you know, first to send them away, the disciples, to send them away, and now it's, you know, we don't have enough of money. We don't have enough of money. And we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But, you know, Moses, when he was asked to take the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land, you know, did he have the resources to do that? Did he have the resources? He had nothing what it took in financial to do that. So there's a lesson here we're going to get to on trusting God. But food is a big thing. They're talking about this large group. You know, food is a big thing in our lives. You know, talk to any of the moms here. You know, how many times do you hear, you know, you just had a meal served, and then all of a sudden you hear it again. What time is supper? Or we're hungry. We're hungry. You know, and then cooking for larger groups is another big thing. So just cooked for Open Gate here. You know, there's that's a group of 50 or 60 people. You know, so there's a lot of work that goes in. Our trustees have to do a lot of work to prepare for a large group. There's a lot of planning, you know, the menu, and then you got to enlarge the recipes, and then you got to buy everything, and you got to prepare everything, and then you got to serve everything. So there's a lot goes on when you think about preparing food, large, and especially large groups. The largest group I probably ever saw being catered as a large group was at a carpet convention, a shawl convention they had, and there was probably about 2,500 people there that a large group, a lot of people. And one evening they decided that they're going to take this group out to a park, or it was planned that they're going to take this group out to a park for the evening meal would be catered, served out there. So there literally, there was 50 buses in a row to load all these people up and take them out to this park. I mean, they lined the people up in this hallway it was probably 30 foot wide, big hall, and just people, and the buses would just pull up, one would pull up, and I counted the buses to make sure there was 50 buses in a row, literally. So there was just a lot of people, and then when he got to the park, they unloaded them at different places. You know, there's five buses unloaded over here, five buses loaded over there, and then they had their different catering stands, and I don't know how many people were involved in making that meal happen, but we're trying to get an idea of the magnitude of this setting. You know, that was 2,500 people. This was much bigger, 5,000 men plus women and children. Harold Martin, in his commentary, he wrote a commentary on the Gospels, and he says that the largest recorded, he found somewhere, that the largest recorded group that was catered was 6,000 people in Atlantic City. And that was back a long time ago, but they at that meal, they served 9 tons of chicken. They had 24 quarts of soup. They had 3,000 grapefruit and 120 pounds of mint candy. And the press would have said that was the largest group that was ever served in human history. Well, I guess they forgot about this one. This one was bigger, 5,000 men plus women and children. So we're getting the magnitude of how big this thing was, you know. And then I think about the children of Israel. You know, we're in this or in our lesson here, we're looking at one large group of people for one meal. Then I think about the children of Israel in the wilderness as Moses led them out. There was God taking care of 2 to 3 million people for just one meal. No, for years. You know, that as I was studying for this, I just was drawn to the magnitude of what God did in leading the children of Israel out through the wilderness into the promised land with all the manna and the quail and all of that. But here, Jesus didn't ask, you know, how much is it going to cost to feed the people? He just said, give them something to eat. And in John it says, you know, he says that, where should we buy bread? Another account says, give them something to eat. He just had verbalized an impossible situation. You know, there was just not enough of resources, and there's nowhere to go for this many people. And we see in verse 5, it says it was a test, you know, for Philip. He knew, Jesus knew what he was already going to do. So he was just testing to see what kind of faith he had. You know, they were just out on all of their they just came back from ministry, and they would have seen the power of God at work. And actually, it's recorded that he did miracles that same day. So they would have seen what Jesus can do, and all that he do. Would it be too much for him to make lunch here too with all the other miracles that had happened? But too many times we look at the impossible. You know, we look at the you know, it's just not feasible. It's not possible. And we have to look at the five loaves and the two fish, you know, that we'll see coming in our story here. So I believe that God has God had something to teach them here. And he said in verse 8, when one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many? What are they among so many? That's where I got my title, only five loaves and two small fish. What is that among so many? There's a lot of people here. Now, barley loaves were, you know, five barley loaves. I envision, picture a smaller loaf, not a big loaf of bread like we think, but probably just more like a breadstick or something smaller. If he was a boy, probably it was his sack lunch. He was going to eat that. So, and barley was cheaper than some other. You know, so it was fish. It doesn't say they're dried, but wonder if it wasn't dried. So he had a little sack lunch here: two dried fish, two fish, and five loaves. But for 5,000 men, what is this little lunch with so many people? But the boy, the lad, I don't know if Andrew knew him or if the boy knew Andrew, but he was willing to give his lunch. Now, it doesn't say if they asked him to hand it over, if he gave it to Andrew and Andrew gave it to Jesus, or if the boy gave it to Jesus himself. But imagine the look on the boy's face when Jesus supersized his lunch. It's going to happen just right as we go on here. And imagine what the boy told his mom that evening or the next day. You aren't going to believe what this man Jesus did with the lunch that you packed me the other day. You know, it was only five loaves and two fishes. Then it says, and there was plus the leftovers. There was leftovers that were more, 12 baskets full. You know, God's nature is to give more than enough, to give plenty. You know, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I think the scripture that Drew read there, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, beyond measure, more than enough. That's God. But I think we see a lesson here on the little boy giving up what is rightfully his. You know, he had to give it up. How hard is it for us to give something up that's mine, that's ours, something that I bought with my money, something that I made? You know, how possessive am I of what's mine? I believe there's a lesson here on giving up what we have. And it was only five loaves and two fish. Insignificant to the great need. You know, maybe he was embarrassed. You know, like, what's this little lunch, you know, with all of these people? You know, he may have been embarrassed. It's too small to the great need. But, you know, sometimes we can get overwhelmed with the large need that might be out there for something, and then we don't do anything about it. We don't give anything. Or what we see as insignificant, you know, God can multiply and use. God used these five loaves and two small fish in an amazing way. It's amazing how God can do so much with so little, but we have to give it. We have to give it to him. He's not going to take it. Jesus wasn't going to take it from the boy, but he's not going to take it if we're not willing to give it. And all we have to do is give. We have to give. For him, for the lad, it was giving what he had in his hand. He had it in his hand. And that's a lot of times what, you know, thinking about Moses, twice God told him, you know, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? His rod. And he said, well, throw it down. Lay it down before me. He used that rod to part the sea. He used that rod. He used what was in his hand. And sometimes we have to look what's in our hand. Give what's in your hand. Maybe it's more than money. Maybe it might be our gifts. It might be our talents. It might be, I don't know, what's in your sack lunch? What are you? What is God asking me to give for this need? Little as much in the master's hand. You know, it shouldn't be how much is it going to cost, but it should be, you know, what do we have? What can I give? Before we ask God to do the impossible, let's start with the possible and look what we have in our hand. What's right here? You know, Jesus, this lunch was brought to him, and he did four things. We want to look at four things that he did with this lunch. Number one, in Matthew it says, and he looking up to heaven, he blessed it and brake it and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So number one is he looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven. You know, for Jesus, it was looking up to God. You know, for us, it's looking to Jesus, looking up. Now, what was the crowd thinking? You know, what was the crowd thinking? Here he's holding a lunch. He's holding this lunch, and he's looking up to heaven. There's 15,000 people out here that are hungry, and he has this lunch, and he's looking up to heaven. What is he doing? What is he thinking? You know, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You know, I believe there's a lesson here. He looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven. He looked to God as the source of our daily bread, literally in this setting. But the emphasis is not on the limited resources, but it's on God. The emphasis, he's looking to God as the provider for what they needed. You know, too many times our emphasis is on the limited resources, on our limited understanding. It's maybe on our problem, you know, but not on God. As a songwriter says, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look into his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. In Psalms, it says how we are to, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So first thing we see Jesus did, he looked up to heaven. And the second thing he did is he gave thanks. He thanked God. He blessed the food. Now again, here is a sack lunch. You know, it's a sack lunch, and he's thanking God for this food. Again, what is the crowd thinking? You know, here he's looking up to heaven, and he's thanking God for this lunch. And, you know, sometimes do we spend more time asking for more rather than thanking him for what we already have? You know, he didn't pray, you know, you're thinking about it, you analyze his prayer. He didn't pray, you know, he could have said, you know, Lord, there's 15,000 people here that are hungry. But the focus wasn't on the limited resources. The focus was on thanking God, thanking him for what we already have. Focus is not on what he had, not what he didn't. And I think that's a lesson for us. You know, it's a lesson for me. Thanksgiving, we need to be thankful. For it, that's more than just it's a holiday. It's a way to approach God. It's a way we approach God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Too many times our focus is on what we don't have. In trying times like that, it's hard to be thankful. You know, it's easy to be complain and, you know, why is it has to be this way? But thanksgiving is the best way to approach God. It's the best way to approach a problem. It's the best way. God wants us to be thankful. Jesus set an example here for us to be thankful. And we live in an unthankful world. Everything's taken for granted. Everything is owed to me. Gratefulness recognizes God as the giver of all things. The next thing we see is he broke it. And I believe Jesus had probably an interesting way of breaking bread, because the two on the road to Emmaus, you know, they didn't recognize Jesus until he broke the bread. I think there's something about him breaking the bread. And then he distributed it. He distributed it. He gave to the disciples who gave to the people. And we see here a lesson on serving others before myself. You know, he served others before themselves. You know, they could have said, well, at least we have enough for us. You know, we'll eat first, the disciples and Jesus, and then the little boy, or maybe the boy first, and then we'll give it to the others. No, Jesus instructed them to feed the others first, to go out and give to the others. And I'm sure they were hungry too. But there's an important lesson. We need to be willing to serve others first. And when we do that, we'll find that our needs and our wants and problems won't seem so bad after all. And if we jump ahead to the leftovers, we want to look at that. But if we jump ahead a little bit to the leftovers, I wonder if God didn't bless them for serving others first by giving them the leftovers. The 12 baskets, 12 disciples. Did each disciple get a basket? You know, I'm not sure. Doesn't tell us where the leftovers went to. Maybe God gave them all to the little boy because was willing to give them up. Can maybe the 12 disciples carried those baskets all back to the little boy's house because he was willing to give them up. But there's a lesson that we need to learn, and that is others first. Others first. Now, this was a miracle. This was a miracle. A creation miracle, a miracle of more bread. You know, there's different miracles. You know, there's some of restoration when God healed, had someone walked again or received their sight. But here is a miracle of more bread. They were eating more bread. You know, they just kept passing it out. Jesus kept filling their baskets up. There was no explanation. They were filled. It was food from heaven. Food from heaven. You know, that the bread, as Jesus was continually filling the baskets up, that's bread that didn't come from wheat ground and grown. That's fish that didn't come out of the sea. It was created. Jesus created it. And there was no thunder. There was no lightning. It didn't get dark. You know, another thing that I thought of is that there wasn't piles and piles and piles of bread. If Jesus would have made a big, huge pile of bread, enough to feed everyone, then the disciples would come and dish it out. You know, that would have been a big show. There was no show. There was no show. I believe it was almost invisible. Jesus was just kept, bread just kept coming, just kept coming. Just like the widow's cruse of oil. She just poured it and just kept, a little more kept coming, a little more kept coming. You see, I believe there was a miracle here that was evidenced only as the people were filled and satisfied. It was more bread. It was not the settling of hunger pains. It was not that. But so the disciples distributed the bread, and they did not produce it. I believe the miracle happened in Jesus' hand as he was producing the bread. The disciples were just distributing it. They had the privilege of passing it out. And as they got from him, they gave to others. The Lord filled their basket up. They went out and distributed it. And when they all got back, they came back and he just refilled it and went out and did it again. And the same with us. You know, we need to be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way and to distribute it to others. You know, if we want to be a servant, if we want to be a teacher, if we want to be a preacher, if we want to be an evangelist, a missionary, whatever it is, we are going to need to be filled by Jesus, filled to distribute to others. We need that living connection with him. Jesus gave to his disciples, and his disciples gave to the people. And he gave as much as they wanted. You know, it says that they were filled, they were satisfied. And that reflects the generosity of God, his abundance, his exceedingly abundant above all that we can ask or think. And I think that's a lesson for us on generosity. We see a lot of practical lessons. I'm going to touch on some of them here. But we see a lesson on working together. They were working together. The disciples, they worked together beautifully. And this large group was fed efficiently. There's a lesson on orderliness. Orderliness. You know, Jesus told them to sit down in groups of 50 or of 100. parties of 50, parties of 100. They were just sitting down in groups, and they would sit down, and that was that just made things. There was an aisle. The disciples, as they were going, distributing, they could go to this group, and they could go. You know, Andrew was over there. Philip was over there. It gave an order. You know, God is the God of order. He is not the author of confusion. And we see just a little nugget here that God, Jesus put order to this large group. And I saw a group of the 2,500, and the order, I mean, it took a lot of planning, a lot of people, and a lot of, you know, and there was, so I believe God is a God of order. He wants things done decently in order. Can you imagine the chaos if they would have told them to just everybody plop down where you're at, just sit down, and the disciples trying to wade through the crowds, and, oh, excuse me, and bump, oh, I'm sorry. It was order. God is a God of order. And there was also a lesson on simplicity. You know, God is there's a lesson here in simplicity. Jesus told them to sit down the grass. Sit down where they're at. There was grass there. They got their groups and they just sat down. Sometimes I think maybe we add all the bells and whistles and make it more complicated, you know, simple. God is simple. Sit down in the grass right where you're at. Then there's a lesson that we need to learn, and that another lesson we see here, and that is the lesson on not being wasteful. You know, it was important enough for Jesus to tell them to go and gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. And they went out and they gathered up 12 baskets of bread. Doesn't say about the fish, but there was 12 baskets there that they brought back. And I believe this was the leftovers. You know, you could say you know, what's the big deal? This could have been 1,000 baskets of bread that they passed out. What's 12 baskets, you know? This is a lesson on not being wasteful. You know, we live in a very wasteful world, or a consumable world. You know, it's cheaper to buy than to fix. And as far as the amount of food waste in America is astronomical. I just did a little checking, and I believe it's over 30% of the food that is produced is not eaten. 30% of the food in America is in the landfill. The number one largest component of a landfill material is food. And that's like they say every day a football stadium full of food in the United States is thrown into landfill. That filled to the brim. I don't know how big that is. It'd be better to maybe know how many truckload it is or whatever. But we live. And thinking about all the hungry people around the world, and we throw close to a third gets thrown in a landfill. Now I realize there's a lot of spoilage, and you know, I've often thought about, take fruits or bananas and how they're so subject to spoilage. You know, you look at you have to have that time so perfectly. I'm sure there's spoilage at every level, at the farm, to the distribution, to the store, and to the home. You know, how many days can you have bananas sitting around until they spoil, you know, until they get overripe? But I think there's a lesson here on not being wasteful. You know, think about all the half-eaten plates. You know, you can go to a restaurant, you can see somebody, you know, they eat just a little bit, and for whatever reason, they just throw the rest out. You know, now, can you imagine if the disciples would go walk down the line and they'd say, you know, I don't like barley. I like wheat. You know, I think it's okay not to like something. You know, but I think it's good and respectful if we're going to eat what we're served. You know, my parents had taught us a lesson, and that I'm very grateful for, and that is that we always had to eat a little bit, even if we didn't like it. You know, asparagus, mom would put some on our plate. That was the amount that we had to eat. We had to eat it. And half-eaten plates were not acceptable. If we had uneaten food, it would go back in the refrigerator until the next day, and we ate that before we got anything else. And you say, well, that was a very good lesson Mom taught us, and I'm very grateful for it, because that way I can eat that asparagus when I'm served something. So I think there's this lesson on not being wasteful. It can go to work out in a lot of different areas. But let's be remember what Jesus taught us, his disciples here, to go pick up the fragments. That was important to him. So there's a huge overarching lesson here, and that is on how God can do a lot with a little. God can do a lot with a little if we give it to Jesus, You know, a practical lesson that we can learn is whenever there's a need, give all that you have to Jesus and let him do the rest. It starts with what we have, with what's in our hand, even if it's only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Little is much in the master's hand. Jesus is saying, give it to me. You know, God has been performing miracles all through time with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, Drew was talking about there's many onlys. You know, give what we have. You know, I think of the Philistines, thinking about the onlys. The Philistines said of David, he's only a boy. And he only has a slingshot. But David gave all that he had to God, and God used that and the giant came tumbling down. It says of Jesus that he was only a carpenter. But look what Jesus accomplished, what God accomplished through Jesus for us. So let us think what God can do, with our onlys if we'll only give it to him. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and love to us. We thank you for your mercies anew every day. Father, we thank you for this lesson that you have taught us years ago in feeding the 5,000, that you used only the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Lord, help us to know what our onlys are. Lord, that we can give it all to you and watch what you can do with it. Father, we thank you for our church here. I just pray that you'll be with us, guide us and direct us till you come for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.